Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know what's cool about the Padres' victory last night over the Los Angeles Dodgers? A whole bunch of good stuff. We welcome you back to Gwynn and Chris. I'm Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Hanging out for another hour until we get to the Padres pregame show ahead of Game 2. Of the series tonight against LAD. 6:10 is the first pitch for Denelson Lamet and Dustin May for the Dodgers tonight. But, you know, Tony, you get the three home runs again last night, and it's only the second time in Walker Buehler's career that he's ever given up three home runs and in one game. And this is a very confident pitcher. He and Paddock are very similar. I mentioned it yesterday. Paddock's on my side, so I like the fact that he's confident and cocky. Buehler's on the other side, so he looks a little arrogant to me. But it's actually the same emotion. It just depends which side you look at it.
At least you recognize it, though.
Yeah. But I was happy to see the Padres touch him up for three home runs last night. Dave Roberts has really taken it easy with Buehler. Took him out of the game after 79 pitches. But how about Austin Hedges? You know, I mean, the guy's 0-for-17. He comes up there when a key spot in the bottom of the sixth inning, finally gets a good pitch to hit, puts a good swing on one, gets the RBI. Also ended up with a stolen base in that sequence because the Padres pulled off a double steal. They stole three more bases last night. People aren't talking about that enough, Tony. They have 17 stolen bases on the season. That's got to be, you know, going to have to start putting some pressure on opposing defenses when you've got that many stolen bases. But I thought the biggest play Hedges may have made in the entire game was picking off Will Smith at third base to end the fifth inning. I mean, you got two outs. You got Max Muncy at the plate, runner at third. Dodgers just took a 3-2 lead. I mean, you don't know. If you don't pick that guy off, Muncy might drive in the run. They might keep the rally going. So, you know, Austin Hedges taking a lot of grief. And I just wanted to say, when the guy has a nice night, I got to give him a little credit.
Listen, I like what I heard from Austin, you know, because he is admittingly in, I think we've all seen, he's been the tinkerer. Like, he tinkers with his swing when things aren't right. Now, despite being 0 for whatever it was yesterday before he got his first hit, he maintained that he was sticking with the stuff he's worked on. And as a hitter, I recognize that. That's a good thing. Hopefully he can start stacking on hits, because when you don't have anything, it's a lot of lack of confidence as you keep making out after out after out. So hopefully he can start stacking some hits together and kind of regain some of that confidence. And listen, clearly, to me, it's not even close in terms of the better defensive catcher. Like, I personally don't think Mejia is getting better as a defensive catcher. So the door is open for him to, especially with neither guy swinging the bat well, the door is open for him to take over that position, which I ultimately think is what Jace Tingler wants. Not necessarily Hedges, but for someone to take over that catching position. Now, you mentioned two things that have been, I think, the vital parts of this team in the early going. And they were part of the identity that Jace Tingler has mentioned on more than one occasion in spring and in summer camp. One of the things he mentioned was, we wanted to grind out at bats. I think we can all agree that the Padres look like a completely different team at the plate as a team. The second thing, and you kind of hit on it, was we wanted to be an aggressive base-running team. And the Padres have done just that. They've been aggressive on the base pass. And it's not just been one dude. It's been kind of like an entire team. Yes, Tommy Pham leads the team with stolen bases, but you see a lot of it. Austin Hedges certainly isn't a guy that's going to steal bags, but it just speaks to the aggressiveness that Jace Tingler wants from his team. And you got to give this whole entire staff, because in the early going, the things that they have preached, forget the wins and losses, because I know that's the thing we focus on, but the things that we heard them preaching during spring training and summer camp, mainly spring training, when we got access to them, was that they wanted to be a type of offense that was going to grind at bats out and that was going to be aggressive on the base pass, and they've done just that.
Yeah, and they're doing it. The coaching staff's doing a nice job too, Tony. I would have to look at all 17 stolen bases on film, but a bunch of them,
there hasn't even been any throw. Yeah.
And that just tells me they're picking the right times to run. I mean, they had a double steal last night that just totally looked like it caught the Dodgers by surprise, and Machado stole third on one. So they're doing a nice job right now, and, you know, just some of the little things helping them win these ball games. All right, we got a chance for you to win a brown and gold opening day Padres hat featuring the Swinging Friar on the front. These are the hats that were supposed to be given away on opening day in March. So they are a collector's item. You want to win one? Let's play Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Mr. Scraby.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you give us the rules?
I will gladly. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to this Chris versus the Fan. Our first contestant, Philip. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday to you. Philip, are you there?
Philippe. Navidad.
Philippe is not there.
No, he's not
Where
there.
Where did you come up with that?
It sounded like Felice.
Yes, I know.
But it did say Felice.
No, Philippe. Anyway. Anyway.
Let's go to Jose, please. Jose, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, Jose.
Well. We're doing well. Welcome back to the show. Here we go. First question. Which NFL team has tiger stripes on their helmets?
That would be the Bengals.
That would be the Bengals.
Oh, my gosh. Grammy's so excited to play that.
Question number two.
Pretty soon he's going to say, which team has a marlin on the sides of their helmets? And it's going to be the Dolphins because he gets those two animals confused.
How many games was Jameis Winston suspended for at the start of the 2018 NFL season?
I'm going to guess three.
He's going to guess three. That is correct.
Wow. Good guess. Nice job. All right.
Tom Brady gets four games. Never mind.
We move to the final.
Well, Jameis Winston didn't deflate a football. Come on.
Yeah, that is, deflating a football and what Jameis Winston allegedly did was much worse, deflating the football.
Oh, the deflating of football was at least a game worse.
Here we go. Question number three.
Treading lightly here.
What player hit a leadoff homer? I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. What player hit a leadoff homer in 2003 at the age of 44, and it was his 81st career leadoff home run?
Did you say 2003? I'm going to guess Ricky Henderson.
My golly, Wally, you are the winner!
Sweep, yeah. sweep, Jose, sweep it up!
That's nice work right there. Yes, Ricky Henderson, I mean, the dead giveaway is that it was 44 playing in 2003, still leading off. I mean, there's just aren't too many 44-year-olds
How many bases did he steal that year? Probably had 30 or something.
Yeah, I was about to say he at least had 20. So
hang on, Jose.
Nice job. Hang on the line. Scraby will take care of you when we get to the end of this segment.
Speaking of stolen bases, Ricky Henderson was pretty good at that. He'd fit in pretty good on this year's edition of the Padre Ball Club.
Oh my gosh, Ricky would love it. He would love it. I mean, it's really the only one he would want to play for because it's the only one that actually steals bases these days.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about the base running and being aggressive, and I thought that was one of the, a lot of fans would look at what happened in the seventh inning last night of that ball game, Tony, when Grisham gets thrown out trying to take second on that single, and he was thrown out by a good 10 feet. No question, it wasn't a good decision. And then on the play where Tatis got in the rundown, he made a mistake, really, by not tagging up immediately on that fly ball.
Exactly.
That Machado hit. But you know what? I'm not great with the Machado play because that one, you got to be smart enough and you got to tag up. I mean, he's still a young guy and he's still going to make mistakes of exuberance. But Grisham's thing, even though you're out by 10 feet, I didn't hate that play because it just shows me that we're always going to be aggressive. We're always going to be looking to take the extra base. And you know what? Jock Peterson came up cleanly with that ball, took a look up. He might have even been a little surprised that Grisham was trying to go to second base, but made a good throw, got him out easily. But I think that kind of play is going to help you on down the road because the next right fielder may look up to see if you're running and may miss the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is where aggressive base running pays off. You do lose some guys on the bases doing it, but I think it's worthwhile.
I'm 50% with you. I'm certainly okay.
50% with me?
Yeah. I'm okay with Grisham's out there. That's a ball down the line. You're trying to stretch into a double. I'm okay with it. Fernando, only reason why he got thrown out was because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Had he been tagging on a ball that was clearly going to be caught, it wasn't like it was in question at all. That's a play that, with his speed, we've seen this guy score from on a pop-up to the infield. That's an easy run, and not only that, you save Machado on that bat because he gets an RBI and it doesn't count towards an at-bat. So,
spoken like a true hitter right there.
I am okay with Grisham's, but Fernando, those are the type of mistakes we've seen him make last year. I want to see him clean those ones up because that's an easy one. That's not a judgment call of, okay, can I make it to the base? That's of, oops, I wasn't where I was supposed to. Now I got to run back, tag, and now I've gone too far down the line. You know, it was almost like that mistake happened because he already had made one mistake. He countered it by making another one.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, the thing is, I mean, and on a play like that, you should still tag up even if you're not sure if the ball is going to be caught. Because if it falls in for a hit, then you walk in anyway. So,
Chris, with his speed, just simply tagging up could cause a bad throw. I mean, he could tag up on time, get halfway down the line, and that throw ends up high. He can keep going. He can go back. But because he waited, he was already like, I don't know, a quarter of the way down the line when it got caught. Then he tried to run back, and then it just became kind of a little bit of an ugly-looking play.
It's kind of a circus in the end of it. And
that's the word
almost,
I was looking for.
It almost
for.
Created a bunch of bad feelings afterwards because of the collision.
I was looking for circus. Some bad words came to
mind.
Yes,
I know. So you had a different word that almost popped in. I've been there many times.
Thank you for saving me.
Will Myers is not in the lineup tonight. I didn't hear anything about Will not feeling, any injury problem. But I'll tell you one thing. Will Myers quietly hitting .282. He's got a .1044 OPS. I know it's 11 games. I know it's early, da-da-da. He struck out 16 times, which is too many. But you know what? Tatis has struck out 18 times, and that's too many. So Will Myers is actually playing pretty well. I mean, you go oppo on a pitch that was up in the zone a little bit, but it was a pretty good cut, sharp cut on that slider, and Will Myers just crushed it to right center field. I've been very pleasantly surprised with Will. He's keeping me alive for my hope or comeback player of the year pick.
Listen, Will has looked good. As much hate as Will's got, I hope people can take a step back and just appreciate what we've seen earlier. Now, granted, he's shown us this before, and so I understand people's reluctancy to get super excited about it, but his at-bats look different right now. They do. He's going down and hitting tough pitches in some cases. He's taking his walks when they've been given to him, and I think that's a good thing. Now, can he sustain it? I think that's the question we all have and are hopeful that he can, because if he can, the Padres are a different team. If Will Myers is playing like the Will Myers that the Padres signed when this initial contract came about, The Padres are a better team. There's just no way of getting around it. Now, if he's not, if he's the Millwires we've seen over the last 3 years, that's a different story.
Yeah, I think one last note I wanted to bring up before we get on to Jim Callis and talk about the call-up of Luis Patino. If you didn't hear that, Padres are bringing up Patino to the big league roster today. But Jerks and Profar is in one of those 0-for-16s right now, Tony. And batting average down to 086. And, you know, that it happens to somebody at the beginning of every season. He's got the night off tonight, and I think that makes good sense. But, again, in this particular season, he's kind of got to get it together pretty soon because, you know what, if he doesn't, Hosmer's going to come back and play first base. And I'll tell you what Jace Tingler's going to probably do. He's going to take Jake Cronenworth and move him right over to second base. So, you know, I mean, the one thing I like about this season is there's a little added pressure on these guys. You know, you can't slide into too big of a slump or you could get forgotten about.
Yeah, that's just the facts of the matter. I mean, with Brian Dozier, you know, opting out of his contract with the Padres and signing elsewhere. I don't know if it was opt-out. I don't know if the two just decided to part ways or not. But
I don't know what happened on that.
Whatever happened there, it opened the door for a guy like Jake Cronenworth. I mean, we talked about Ty France getting opportunity there, but it seems as though Jake is the more likely candidate to possibly play that second base spot on an everyday basis, just based on what we've seen thus far. And listen, that's why A.J. Preller makes a trade for him, period.
Yeah. Tonight, Greg Garcia, by the way, is in the lineup at second base for the
Padres. GG.
Not too shabby to have
not
him in.
Not too shabby
there.
At all. No, not
no.
at all.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Pre-game show is less than an hour from now. First pitch is less than 2 hours from now, but we got Jim Callis from Baseball America to join us next. He'll give us a scouting report, the latest on Luis Patino, who joins the Padre roster today. That's coming up when we return. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan. Let's check traffic with Kelly D.
.422 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellis, less than an hour away, almost a little over 30 minutes away from our pregame show with my partner, Chris Ello. But joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline. Jim, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Padres make at least a big decision here in San Diego, deciding to bring up Luis Patino and adding him to the roster. A little bit of a surprise because, you know, all along we've been hearing Mackenzie Gore's name as being, you know, the number five prospect in all of baseball, and yet Patino is the guy the Padres elected to go to first.
Yeah, you know, I do wonder if part of that, you know, and I mean, Patino is obviously a very good prospect also, but I do wonder if part of that is, you know, it sounds like, I mean, I think you guys probably heard the same thing, that they plan on using Patino out of the bullpen, and, you know, maybe they need a bullpen arm right now, and, you know, they want to keep Gore on whatever path he's on to use him as a starter when he's ready. You know, I mean, they're two of the best prospects in baseball, two of the best pitching prospects. I'm hard-pressed to think of a better lefty-righty duo. You know, Patino can probably light up the radar gun a little bit more than Mackenzie Gore. I think Gore's a little bit more polished. I mean, I do think they're both starters, but I do wonder, and I haven't seen anybody address this, if the reason you call up Patino is because you wanted a bullpen arm for right now, and if they do need a fifth starter, you know, when that arises, then they'll go to Mackenzie Gore perhaps.
You would think also this is a little bit of a, I don't know if it's a wake-up call, but at least an alert to Joey Lucchese, who struggled a little bit in his first couple of starts, that, you know, we got some other guys here. I'm sure Joey was well aware of that, but now that Luis Patino's been brought up, you said bullpen, but I could see them going to him, you know, kind of an early relief appearance if need be. Does he fit that bill?
Yeah, I mean, it's so, I mean, there's so many things weird about this year. It's not, we don't know how they've been using him at alternative camp. You know, has he been pitching, you know, like, you know, shorter stints more often? Have they been, you know, has he been on a starter schedule trying to replicate a starter's workload? I don't know any of that. I mean, normally we'd be able to look at minor league stats and say, oh, here's how he was doing in AAA. This looks like, you know, this will make some sense. Yeah, I mean, I would think, I mean, you know, depending on how they've been using him. I mean, he's certainly equipped to go multiple innings. This year, besides the pandemic, I think one thing when we thought about health, I mean, we're obviously all thinking about the virus, but like one thing we've seen across baseball, and I don't think it's so much affected the Padres quite yet, is that it's taken a large toll on pitchers. We've had a lot of pitching injuries. We saw the news today that, yes, the rosters will go down to 28 men this weekend, but they're going to stay there, including through the playoffs. And I think that's a move to try to help teams keep pitchers healthy and spread the workload among more people. Because I'm looking at it, I think the Padres have used, 16 different pitchers this year now? Or something like that, and they've stayed healthy. But, yeah, it's such a weird year. You can't look at things like you normally do. I mean, I think just about everything's in play.
You mentioned, Jim, the fact that they're going to keep it at 28. When did that come out? Is that new news right there? I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, I think that came out today. I think Ken Rosenthal tweeted that because it was originally going to go
to 26 from 28, right?
Well, yeah, 30 to 28 after 2 weeks and 26 after 2 weeks for the rest of the year. And there was talk that they might keep it at 30.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Because of the wear and tear on pitchers, and they didn't agree to that, but they have agreed. Again, I don't think there's been an official release I've seen, but Ken Rosenthal's word, I will take Ken Rosenthal's word when he reports something, and he reported to 28, including through the playoffs, which is going to be really interesting, assuming we get to the playoffs with all the extra off days built into the schedule. I mean, that gives you a lot of flexibility to do things in the postseason.
Well, that certainly is a gift to baseball, and it kind of speaks to what I think, anecdotally, at least it looks like, that you have seen quite a few pitcher injuries. So they're looking to protect it. Let me ask you this about Patino. You mentioned him lighting up the gun. What else can fans expect to see for him besides the fastball?
Yeah, I mean, he's not just one of these guys who rears back and throw hard. I mean, he's really athletic, so he repeats his delivery well. He throws a lot of strikes. He's got natural life to his fastball. His slider, he can miss bats with the slider, too. You can't sit on the fastball. He can run that into the upper 80s. He'll flash a solid changeup. He can mix in a curve that's, really his fourth pitch right now, but I mean, it's a hard curveball. It's in the low 80s. So, I mean, he's got four pitches. He's not fully formed yet. He's only 20 years old. But I mean, this is a guy who's come a long way. He was, signed when they were signing, spending, tens of millions of dollars signing international guys back in 2016. He was kind of overlooked. He was a smaller, undersized kid, and he just keeps getting better and better. And, I mean, I know you guys know this, but, I mean, just his relationship with Mackenzie Gore is kind of fun, too. I talked to them, it was 2 years ago in spring training, but they kind of push each other. They show each other how they, throw different pitches. They've been on the same team a lot, so they give each other feedback. And, Patino will tell you that Gore helps him a lot with his English, and Gore will tell you that Patino helps him with his Spanish. And I think it's going to be kind of a neat, friendly rivalry. Again, it's not too far off in the future. We're going to see the front of the rotation in whatever order is going to be, Gore, Patino, Chris Paddock, Dinelson, LeMay. That's a pretty exciting rotation.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline, is our guest here. Jim, you mentioned it's kind of difficult to follow these players on the in the taxi squad. How much does anybody know about what they're doing? Just in general, like what would Mackenzie Gore be doing? Are they playing inter squad games? Are they just pitching on the side? Do we know? I mean, I did want to ask you how's Mackenzie Gore coming along, but I mean, I understand you're really not going to know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I haven't talked to the Padres, you know, recently, but I mean, I think different teams are doing different things. I mean, you kind of have two purposes with these camps. You know, one is, you know, with 16 teams making the playoffs, you know, a lot of teams think they have a shot at the playoffs, is keeping guys ready so that if you need them, they're ready to go. I mean, it's not like, hey, you know, our three pitchers go down, we just have these guys sitting around chewing gum over at the alternative camp. I mean, you've got to kind of keep, I would assume your starters are probably pitching every fifth day, and your relievers, you know, you have them on a set schedule, and your hitters are I would assume, taking some live at-bats against these guys to, you know, you have keep them prepared and keep the pitcher sharp. But then you also have, prospects too, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, who aren't going to be up. You know, like the Padres have their first-round pick, Robert Hassel's at the alternative camp. Well, he's not going to be in the big leagues, but you're trying to give development opportunities to, you know, some of your best young prospects, because the alternative is you don't get to do anything at all in 2020, at least not at this point. You know, maybe we'll have a Arizona Fall League or something. We don't even know that yet. But yeah, it's just very weird. I mean, if, like I said, if we had a normal season, you know, you could look and see how these guys were doing in AAA or AA or when they'd pitched last, or, you know, if they're trending up or down, and there's just none of that this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Definitely a weird year in 2020, especially as it pertains to a lot of the prospects going around. Jim, certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on and filling us in on what we're going to see from Luis Patino.
Yeah, enjoy him. He was great at the Futures game last year. He's a lot of fun. I think you guys will really enjoy watching him.
No doubt about it. Thanks again, Jim.
Okay, take care. Stay safe.
Jim Callis, MLB Pipeline on the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or to apply online, visit SDCCU.com. Couple things. First of all, we're rolling right through the 57 break, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Patino. I came away, I got a chance to hop on a Zoom with him during summer camp. It was one of the first Zooms I got to participate in. And I walked away being so impressed with how he dealt with the media, especially for a guy as young as he is. I mean, he just answered every question. And although it was in Spanish, you could just tell there was a comfort level. I like guys like that because generally they come up and it's the baseball part and getting locked in for a job. Guys who seem to handle the media out of the chute like this are generally more prepared, it just seems like, to deal with the everyday grind that baseball presents. So I think Jim is right. We're all going to be impressed with this young kid when he comes up, because I know I certainly was.
I hope we get to hear him interviewed tonight. He might.
That would be great.
He gets to throw a couple innings tonight in this ball game. I mean, let's spring him on the Dodgers while they're not quite ready for him. You know, come on. Give me like 5 or 6 innings from Denelson Lamet. Give me an inning of Patino just for fun.
Speaking of Denelson Lamet,
yeah,
he's on the mound today. Mm-hmm. I want to see him make that step that I saw Chris Paddock make yesterday, where he went 6 innings, and it was an efficient 6 innings by Chris Paddock. Another, you know what? Let's talk about Chris for a sec, because I mentioned that he had only thrown 10 curveballs in his first 2 starts. He threw 14 yesterday. The one thing that I had worried about with Chris, especially as it pertains to the Dodgers, is that he wants to beat the Dodgers as much as anybody I know.
Yeah.
And I think in his first couple times facing him, it was to his detriment. He wanted to beat him so bad, it was almost like he was too pumped up for those starts. And
you said that yesterday, and then the first pitch of the game last night, he gives up a home run, and I'm like, darn it, Tony!
Right. But what I liked about yesterday was after that, it's almost like that homer calmed him down, because then he started locating. The ball was not up in the zone. It started to get down in the zone. It started to be on the corners. I saw balls on that on the strike zone square that they put up on TV. He was splitting the corner with the middle of the ball on a lot of pitches, and the changeup was down in the zone. One sequence after the Peterson homer, his next at bat, he threw Peterson three straight changeups. And Peterson went from 1-2, I believe, to 3-2, taking two good changeups. What'd he do 3-2? Came right back with it, punched him out. I like that, what I saw from Chris Paddock. And I want to see Denelson Lamet try to top him tonight.
Yeah, Denelson Lamet, get that slider working tonight, get it over the plate, and if he has that going, then obviously the Dodgers are going to have a tough time with Denelson. But, you know, he's pitched five innings, allowed one run in each of his first two starts, but he hasn't been, as you said, necessarily kept the pitch count down.
Right.
It hasn't been a smooth ride for him yet. And you know the Dodgers are never going to let you have a smooth ride. So he's just got to hang tough. He's got to make some good pitches tonight. And he's got to battle on the count. And then, Dodgers got to get him some – or the Padres got to get him some runs, too, off Dustin May. So
I think it was Denelson's last start where he had was, like, pretty efficient through five or going into the fifth.
That's
and then
what
that
was,
the last inning I got away from him, and his pitch count ended up somewhere in the 90s. And – that's the inning you want to see him avoid, because that's the inning that's going to allow him to get through six. And then it shortens the game for the bullpen, which I think is to the Padres, to their benefit right now. So,
do you ever stop and just realize that we're talking about guys going five or six innings and being very pleased with that?
It's the way baseball is.
I mean, it used to be,
seven was the number we were talking before.
Oh, my goodness, at least seven. Yeah, you didn't even start
pitching.
Remember,
a quality start was six.
Yeah, like you didn't even start pitching until the seventh or eighth inning. You know, Tom Seaver and those guys, they didn't even warm up until the eighth inning. But now just get me through five. If you can get me six, that's a bonus. It's a different world. But,
it is. Definitely a different world.
It plays into the Padres' hands as long as this bullpen can hopefully last night was a turning point for them.
Yes, let's step away. When we return, we have Scraby's Big Five on the way. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. 4:42 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Name of the program, Gwynn and Chris. Name of the station, 97.3 The Fan. Coming up, Padres baseball pregame show, 5:10 this afternoon, 6:10 this evening. First pitch from Petco Park. You'll hear the game right here on 97.3 The Fan as the top offense in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, that's right. Your San Diego Padres lead all of Major League Baseball in runs scored with 64. And they're going up against the top pitching team in all of Major League Baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers. We know who prevailed last night. See if the Padres can do it again.
We're aiming for the big cake, man.
Big cake, Fernando. Just remember to tag up on all fly balls to the outfield if you're on third base.
I like big cake.
Then you can have big cake.
We're aiming for the big cake, man.
Then you can have it. This hour is brought to you by Spectrum Business. Now more than ever, small businesses need the best in internet and phone solutions at the best value. And Spectrum Business is proud to help, offering new customers 1 month of internet, voice, and TV service for free. Visit business.spectrum.com today to learn more. All right, we have arrived at the big moment in the program. It is Scraby's Big Five, but before we can get to that, we've got to check a little traffic with Kelly Danik.
Well, guys, South 163 before Mesa College, there was a stalled car in the center divide, but now they're saying it's a two-vehicle crash, so not sure if one thing touched off another or if it was an accident to begin with. Just watch out for a little activity there, the South 163 just before Mesa College. Also, traveling on at northbound 5, Milo Cars Way, vehicle fire that is over the right shoulder. Reports of a possible fire eastbound 905 before Buyer, looks like that is over to the right shoulder. And on the coastline, northbound 5 before Loma Santa Fe, there is an accident. Looks like three or four vehicles involved in this one, and looks like that is partially blocking the slow lane. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No, whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. the Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Couple things here before we get into the Big Five. NFL Network's on here in the studio. DeAndre Hopkins, or Nuke, was on, and he posted a picture.
The 99er?
Yes, the 99er.
Okay.
The former 99er.
Yes, that's true, too. He posted a picture of himself in the Cardinals uniform, and he looks good.
Sweet. He looks good. He does. I saw it. He looks really good.
And he was talking about him and Kyler Murray and how they're on the same page, and it just made me scared because the 49ers have to play them twice.
Yep, they also have the Seahawks, who probably will bring AB there at some point, I'm guessing.
No, it'll there's be another Seahawks story, too.
It'll be late in the season.
Yes. How would you like to hear your voice during a Padres broadcast? I don't know if you guys have heard these. I thought these were pretty cool. But
I'd love
to
hear my voice during a Padres broadcast.
We haven't heard you yet.
That's true. It's very true. Leave us a voicemail, and we can play it during the next Padres game. Visit 973thefansd.com/Padres messages for all of the details, and you can hear yourself on a Padres game. If you have any Big Five topics, find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby. You could find Tony at Tony Good Jr. and Chris at ChrisLOSD. So with that all out of the way, let's get started.
Number five.
It's Luis Patino Day in Padre Land, and our boss has been hard at work putting up videos of the Jace Tingler Luis Patino press conferences. Go to at 97.3TheFanSD every day to get the latest. I'm not joking. Like, he takes this very seriously. Any Padres news that you need, your little heart desires is up on at 97.3.
Literally any Padres news. Any Padres news. Like, it could be anything. Literally.
I appreciate it because I don't have to do it, so.
I'm glad the truth comes out.
I told him that before, too.
You shouldn't have mentioned that, Scraby. You might start.
So I'm actually glad, because I don't have to do it.
No, we've talked about it. But, yes, if you want to go there, at 97.3TheFanSD. Now, here is what Padres manager Jace Tingler had to say about what Patino needs to do to crack the starting rotation.
I think that's on the table now. You know, we'll kind of see, like, where we're at. You know, with the off day on Thursday, we've got some options, you know, to make. Do you want to continue the guys on 5-day rest? Is it beneficial? You know, for the group to get the 6-day, what's best going forward? Is that better for health? Is that better for the last, 45 games? Or is it better to, give your, top three, top four more frequent touches? I think we'll discuss all those things. I don't have the answer off the top of my head, by any means, but, we're going to talk about all those scenarios. So, that's definitely not, that's definitely a possibility that he could start. That's for sure.
So there you go. The man himself.
So impressed with my man, Jace Tingler. You notice how he pauses quite a bit in his answers.
He's thinking about it.
No, he's thinking about how to say something without telling us anything.
I think he told us everything. So well. I think he told us everything we need to know. He started with, "I think it's on the table." Right
I was about
now.
To
yes.
say, I think this is actually a time where he didn't coach talk us. Like, he actually revealed. I thought, and I could be wrong. I thought
me too.
The quickness in which he answered and the tone in which he answered. Oh, it's on the table now. It's on the table now.
And then somebody in his mind said, "Jace, what are you doing?
Stop!"
Right. It's almost like. It's almost, you know how I read that is that he obviously has been getting reports from wherever he's at, and he was kind of excited when the Patino question popped up because he was like, oh, that's on the table now. And then as he started talking, like Chris said, the coach in him was like, I can't give away too much.
Yeah.
We got options. Do we want to give the 6? Listen, I think there's a chance. I'm saying there's a high chance that he starts a game here really soon.
Well, that was going to be my question. Tony, when will we see him start?
Let's say after that off day on Thursday.
You're saying Friday?
Friday. That would give everybody that extra day of rest that we're talking about.
So do we see him tonight and then Friday?
No, if he pitches tonight, then he's off the table to start Friday.
All right.
So my guess is if we don't see him tonight, might very well see
indications.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, what do you think? When will we see Luis Patino start?
I agree with Tony. I think you'll see him Friday. I think he'll start Friday, and I think that's what they have in mind right now. Either that or he'll for Joey Lucchesi by the third inning on Friday, unless Joey Lucchesi comes out and looks really, really sharp, which is something he has yet to do. Obviously, you're going to have Lamet pitch tonight. Obviously, you're going to have Garrett Richards pitch tomorrow. Then you're going to get your off day, and then it's Lucchesi's spot in the rotation. And I think what he was saying there, if I'm reading in between the lines correctly, is that they either could skip Lucchesi's spot in the rotation and go right to Zach Davies because of the off day, or they could start Patino. And I think they're leaning towards starting Patino. So I'm reading between the lines. I'm saying Friday like Tony.
I want to see him start Friday, but I also am going to be tortured for the next couple games waiting for him to come into the game, and then he's not going to do it. But then I'll get to see him a lot.
I agree with Tony, though. If he comes in, then he's not playing. Then he's not starting Friday. But if he doesn't come in, then Friday's definitely on the table.
Number four.
One thing we won't be able to enjoy when the PGA Championship rolls around on Thursday is the great John Daly. He has withdrawn from the PGA Championship due to health concerns.
Do they even show him on camera anymore?
They do.
He has John usually plays his round so early in the morning because he shot 97 in the first round that they don't really have a lot of time to show him anymore.
He has a clothing line that they like to show because it's like crazy clothes. I think it's called like Loudmouth or something like that. But they always show him just for his crazy pants and his crazy shirt and all that stuff. But he's withdrawn from the PGA Championship that's being held in San Francisco due to health concerns and cited California as being the worst state in the country right now in regards to cases and deaths. On that note, Daly faced criticism in April, though, when he appeared in a video shared by the Trump Organization, which he claimed was a sarcastic joke. In the video, he said, "The cure for COVID-19 was a healthy dose of vodka, Diet Coke, and cigarettes." So...
And he doesn't
want
to come to California because
doesn't John live in Florida?
I don't know where he lives. I think he lives in like Arkansas or something.
Oh, okay.
I also thought he was sober, so I'm kind of disappointed that he's bringing up vodka in this whole thing because I thought he had turned his life away.
Maybe that was
around.
The joke.
Maybe that was the joke. It's not funny. It's not funny when you're saying that's the cure for COVID-19. Vodka, Diet Coke, and cigarettes.
Yeah, because clearly we can't joke around with things that we shouldn't be putting in our bodies in order to kill COVID-19.
Yes, I'll just stop right there. Chris,
what?
The question has been raised in the golf world. When you win a major, should you have an automatic entry for life? And that's what you get with when you win a major in the PGA Tour.
Yes, you should have an automatic entry for life. Because that way we get to talk about goofy John Daly stuff four times a year.
I mean, let's think about it. John Daly has no shot. He hasn't had a shot of winning this in 25 years.
You know what? He never had a shot to win it the year he won it.
This is very true. A crooked stick.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he has two majors to his name.
He does.
I mean, so, yeah, I think if you win a major, you always get to compete in a major if you want to. And why not? It's one more guy.
Yeah, but you're taking up a spot of a deserving young golfer.
Too bad. Too bad.
That's such not a Chris answer. Golfers. That's such not a Chris answer.
Would you rather see a guy that's won a major or somebody you've never heard of who's a deserving young golfer?
I would much rather see. I would much rather see someone other than John Daly hacking up the golf course.
I would want to see John Daly. I mean, he nearly won a tournament here at Torrey Pines. Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Do you remember that?
I don't,
honestly.
Actually.
Oh, yeah. He came right to the 18th green with a shot to win. I mean, I was on the edge of my couch. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. John Daly's the guy who always needs the cart, too, and all that stuff. So, I don't know. Tony, what do you think?
Stop hating on John Daly.
I mean, John Daly's like nearly 60, and he can't play professional-level golf.
He's not nearly 60.
I think he is. Tony, while I'm looking up the age of John Daly, do you think that they should have entry for life if they win a major? Oh, he's 54.
For life? No.
For life, yes.
No. And I think maybe you could argue until
until you're 90.
Right.
Maybe
right.
If you get to be 100, and if you're 130 like Bryson DeChambeau, maybe they won't let you in.
Once you get to the senior PGA Tour,
the Champions Tour.
it shows me the champions.
Well, 55 years old,
though, isn't it?
55.
Oh, it's yeah. 55
so what? 55. Then he. That's when your timeline runs out.
For, really, the for automatic bid.
Wow, you're being kind of harsh. I think here, Tony.
You think you? I listen. Once you.
No, it is 50. My bad. It is 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. If it's 50.
So John Daly's already been in the Champions Tour age bracket for a while now.
4 years.
Well, I'm saying once you actually make the move to go over to the Champions Tour, that's when your time should end on terms of getting into majors at the PGA level.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Number three. So, it turns out Matthew Stafford never had the coronavirus after all, everyone. We reported this yesterday, but the Lions activated him from the reserve COVID-19 list today, declaring that he had a false positive. Stafford was placed on the list Saturday, but the Lions say subsequent tests indicate he did not contract the virus. In the complicated world of sports in COVID-19, Tony, how much does the possibility of false positive hurt the NFL's operations?
It hurts all operations that are in the business of trying to do something like this. The false positives don't help baseball. We saw that with Juan Soto. I think he tested negative 10 times.
Is he still out?
No, he's finally been cleared today.
Today, but not in the lineup.
But he's not in the lineup. I think especially in football, that's going to be a big problem. False positive. Can you imagine a quarterback like Stafford having a false positive and having to be quarantined as long as he was during the regular season? Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem big time.
Chris, what do you think? How much of a problem is this going to be?
It's a problem because there's enough true positives.
Right.
That are going to be floating around right. The National Football League. So you tack on to that false positives, and, you know, it's I don't know what you can do about it, though. I don't have the answers or the technology to keep false positives from happening from time to time. So I just think it's another aspect of this coronavirus pandemic that the NFL is going to have to deal with, baseball's dealing with, and just about everybody else in every other walk of life, unfortunately.
Number two. Quarterback, speaking of COVID-19 and quarterbacks, Gardner Minshew is the biggest name to hit the Jaguars reserve COVID-19 list this summer, but he's not the only one. The Jaguars have placed 12 players on the list, which is the most of any team in the league at this point in training camp. That led to a question for head coach Doug Marrone about whether negligence is to blame for that number or not. He said via ESPN.com, "I don't think anyone's being negligent. I really don't believe that. Everybody understands what's at stake, a roster spot, or what's going on or missing time, but I really can't answer those questions. Guys are coming from all over the country. You just got to be aware of your surroundings and where you are, and there's a lot of different ways that you can come in contact with the virus. I feel good, I really do, about how we're trying to educate our players, and I feel good about how they're responding. Sometimes it's just bad luck," end quote. Chris, out of the 32 NFL head coaches, let me give you some background on why I'm asking this. The coaches, Bruce Arians said he's 100% ready to go. A lot of the coaches think that the season's 100% going to happen. Out of 32 NFL head coaches, how many do you believe think the season will happen as planned?
32.
You think all 32?
Well, 33, Kyle Shanahan actually. Said, 33 because Coach Armando Salguero told us last week from Miami that the season's definitely going to happen. I think everybody's got to go ahead and plan as if the season's happening. I mean, maybe in the back of their mind they might, you know, have some hesitation. But if you're an NFL head coach, your job is to get your team ready best you can under the circumstances. So can't believe there's too many coaches walking around out there in the NFL level saying, "No, I don't think there's going to be a season, so I don't have to worry about it."
Oh, that would be really hard for me to coach an NFL team and be like, "Yep, I don't have to worry about my season being shut down at any moment." But what do you think, Tony? How many coaches do you believe the season will just happen as planned?
I don't think they have the luxury to worry about it. I think in the back of their mind, I bet you at least half think that there's a chance their season won't happen. But they can't. That's not how football works. There's too much preparation that goes into it. So if you're spending any of your brain power on what could or could not happen, you're wasting time on getting your team ready. So I agree with Chris on this. You have to be, regardless of how you may feel personally, for the sake of your team, you've got to be 100% invested in the season happening and getting them prepared for such.
Doug Marrone, I don't know if he makes it through the year as head coach of the Jaguars.
He was just in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago.
And Blake's gone, baby.
You can't use that for a tiger and a jaguar.
They're the same animal. They're not the same animal. We know that.
Are they?
We know that. We know that they're not the same animal. But the roar
I
could be.
I hear a Scrooby.
That's definitely a Scrooby.
But whatever.
They're not the same animal.
That was
That's a jaguar.
That was
sure.
a jaguar, and this is a tiger.
Okay.
Same animal still, huh?
Perfect. Same animal. Number one. I think they come from the same species of cat.
Clearly.
A report
you
last
don't
month.
Don't know a thing about any of that.
Yeah, it comes from the never mind. A report last month revealed the Seahawks would have interest in re-signing wide receiver Josh Gordon if he is reinstated by the NFL. And head coach Pete Carroll seemingly
Josh Gordon
confirmed that yesterday. I did say that with some disdain. Gordon was playing for the Seahawks when he was suspended by the league for the fifth time in December. The wideout applied for reinstatement from that indefinite suspension in June and will be an unrestricted free agent if the league moves to allow him to return. Pete Carroll said in a press conference or in a conference call, the Seahawks would have interest in his services if that's the case. I had a question on here that's not the right question. Tony, the right question is, should the NFL reinstate Josh Gordon?
I don't know. I don't know what the circumstances of the last suspension.
The last
I don't
five
know.
Suspensions.
I know he has five. I don't know if he should be allowed back at this point.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm gonna straddle the fence on this.
No, you're okay. Is five times too many chances for a player? Or that was not the question. That was what I was going to ask you before. Should the NFL reinstate him? I'm just Ron Burgundy right now.
All right, Ron. I'm not going to straddle the fence here. I'm going to say no. I think he's had enough chances. So
I agree with you guys.
No, I find it, Pete Carroll's all gung-ho about, saying he'll bring him back and stuff, but it's a little odd to me. I mean, couldn't find a spot for Colin Kaepernick. Now he kind of can find a spot for Colin Kaepernick, but not really. I probably shouldn't be barking up that tree, but I just did. So
yes, you did.
It's all right. I agree with you, Chris.
I think five times is honestly too many. I'm always good second chance. I even go three on you once in a while in the NFL level, but man, five's a lot. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, is Antonio Brown, how many chances is he on now?
Maybe three?
When has he been suspended from the league?
Well, he just got suspended for 8 games.
Right.
But that might be the first one.
He got suspended for speeding and all that stuff, didn't he?
No.
I don't know.
I think his team suspended
his
him.
His team might have, but yeah. That's not
I got enough NFL
trouble
keeping,
suspension.
I got enough trouble keeping tabs on the standings, let alone the standings of how many suspensions these wide receivers have.
All right, that is the big five. But before we get back to you guys, let's check. Well, we're not going to check on traffic. We're going to go to the legal ID.
WFNFM and KWFN HD1 San Diego, a radio.com sports station.
Hey, it's Ben Higgins, the one who actually makes us talk sports sometimes in the morning. Listen to Ben and Woods from 5 to 9 a.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And it's back to you guys.
I just wanted to hear what you were going
to I knew you guys were setting me up like yesterday. I knew it.
I knew that yesterday you were going to have a pause and some sort of uncomfortable rejoinder.
For those that weren't listening yesterday, we did the same thing. And Scraby sent us there, and then when we came back, it was literally crickets for like 10 seconds while Scraby was looking at us
not
like
to bring us back.
Yeah, but I did this time.
All right,
nice back job, to Scraby. You guys.
All right, we got Padre pregame show coming up in about, we're done in a couple of minutes. Padre pregame show starts at 5:10. First pitch is at 6:10 tonight. So, and tomorrow I'm excited to do the show, but I have no pregame show. I'm going to actually go down to Petco Park and take in my first game of the season.
Ooh, enjoy, buddy.
Well, I'm just looking forward to the experience of being able to, we're all in a bit of a lucky situation to even have the opportunity to go down there. So I wanted to take advantage of it. So I'm going to go tomorrow and check out the atmosphere of a big league ball game with no fans. So far, I've enjoyed it on television. I got to be honest with you. and the radio.
It's been great.
Which is where we'll all enjoy it tonight. Thank you, Scraby. Thank you, Tony Gwynn Jr. Thank all of you for joining us. Stay tuned for the Padres baseball coming up next. Gwynn and Chris returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on the number one sports station in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.